flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And with all of that, man, it's nice to be back after a week and a half off to take care of some business with my father out in California. And I got to tell you, man, it's great to be back with so much news going on, and it's always great to have my man Dono with me this morning, who's always nice enough, Alex Dono, and all day Dan Day working with us today. Woody's got the day off, I believe. He's got jury duty, hopefully just a one-day deal. I've had both. I've had most of the time. Most of us, I hear, when you have jury duty, You don't have to worry about, you go for the day and they go, all right, we're not going to need you, got worked out. I had one that was a friggin' month. I got a murder one and death penalty one. I mean, Dono, it couldn't have been, as I bring you in, man, it's great to see you and be able to talk to you with this new technology I didn't even know about. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great. And I was on a jury once. It was not a month. It was 4 day civil trial lawsuit, but I was the jury foreman. So like you, I've got some actual jury experience.
Well, I am one of the few apparently that, and I tell everybody, I had a vote to if I wanted to give the guy the death penalty or not.
Wow.
And you know, for years I used to see something on TV. We've all done this going, that guy deserves to die. Oh my God. You'll see somebody, you know, brutally murder somebody and you're going, why are we wasting money? Just kill that man. That guy should be, you know, fry him or what. And now you're sitting there and we're going around the room. This is, by the way, it's like murder one for like a month. And then it was death penalty. Had to come back. I didn't even know. You know there's death penalty attorneys that do nothing but death penalty stuff? I didn't even know that.
I had no idea. Pops up a
new attorney's in front of us and he's carrying on and so he already knows the guy's, you know, he's trying to get, you know, life in prison, which was a done deal. And then, but you got that vote. And I go, man, well, what's the toughest thing you've ever did? I go, man, I'll tell you what, when you sit with a group of people, all different backgrounds, and you got a vote. And the other thing is, you know, everybody knows who you are because you've been together for a month. And I was on TV at the time and doing the radio with a big mouth. And I was sitting there, and I was like, wow. And then that night you spend with a security guy, police officer in front of your room, that's when you go, like, this stuff's pretty serious, man. It was a Jamaican gang, a guy that did all the hits and killings for the Jamaican gang on the East Coast. And I was like, this can't be real. This can't be. Like, this is like a friggin' movie. I'm in the middle of the movie. And the weirdest part, so I didn't fry the guy. I couldn't do it. I just gave him death penalty. And his family, the family that he had, was there to see, you know, they were there every day. And they're walking out, and they tell me, hey, thank you. They gave me thank you. I got the guy. Wow. Got life in prison, like 200 million years. Like, he ain't getting out. He was whacking people for a living. So anyway, I hit you with that. My God, we got Jimmy Butler stuff and all this other stuff. I brought everybody's like down and out, and I just was telling you about my experience. The next one, by the way.
What a way to start the morning.
Yeah, nice job there, Joe. But the next one, I was done by the afternoon. They sent me home, and they got whatever it was I was going to do. It got worked out. Hell, I never even saw anybody. They just made me sit for the after for 4 or 5 hours, and that was it. So that's what I think most of them are. Jimmy Butler, I guess we shouldn't be surprised by anything. Missed a team flight yesterday. For the two-game road trip, which Milwaukee game, I don't know if it's going to happen tonight with the bad weather or not, if they're going to be able to get, if the Bucks are going to be able to get back. Their game was suspended last night in New Orleans. It's getting snow. And so Jimmy gets suspended for two games, and here we go again. Alex, disregard of team rules, insubordinate conduct, and conduct detrimental to the team. Listen, this guy, he's not playing again down here. We won't see him. He fans won't see him again. What do you think?
Yeah, that was what I was – yeah, I think he's probably played his last game in a Miami Heat uniform, Joe, and it's like – man, he had just returned two games back from the previous suspension, and I'm sure one of those things that they talked about was, Jimmy, you know, show up, let's call this truce together until the trade deadline, let's all try to be professionals, and then he's missing flights again, and I know the damage control, like, oh, he had planned to take another flight and join the team, but
yeah,
they wanted him to actually at least pretend like you're, you know, part of the team.
You can't jump on with his teammates. I'm guessing. Look, I just put myself in that situation. Goodbye. Go away. Leave us alone, bro. You don't want to play with us. I get we're all trying to get our money, but you're making a lot more than the rest of us. Goodbye. Leave. Thank you. Go away. He was pouting. He's been pouting the whole time he's been back. 13 points a game, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. That's not, I mean, he's playing like a $10 million, $15 million player, really, isn't he? Isn't that what he's been here? And he doesn't want to be here. Here's the sad part. With all this stuff that he's doing, he and his agent have done, he's going to get traded to the team he wants to go to. He's going to end up in Phoenix. And they're all working around it and trying to get, we saw the Phoenix Suns picked up some more first-round picks and trying to give the Miami Heat what they want or something close. But we're just not used to seeing this kind of stuff with this team. I guess we saw it with Shaq a little bit when the way that ended and got ugly when Riley said, you got to lose some weight, you're a fat ass and whatever. Remember that whole thing, and Shaq's sure too did. Heavy, and Shaq's feelings were hurt too, because I've seen how Shaq's kind of responded to this whole thing when TNT show was talking about it. But, yeah, man, hey, you're getting your wish. You're done. I can't imagine, guys. They're going to let him come back and play another game in front of Heat fans. Like, it's over. And, by the way, he's sitting by himself at the end of the bench. He's not involved. Like, he checked out. Like, and his shoes, the Phoenix Suns shoe colors, yeah. Man, are you serious? Like, what a jack-off, really. Okay, you made your point. We know you made it clear, but we can't trade you right now. We're trying. He's not playing in the fourth quarter of these games. Spo would love to just come out if he didn't have to look at him every day, and he's been in an awkward situation. Now he's getting a little testy with the media, and I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not. I know that's what you guys live for. Well, listen, man, it's kind of a huge story there, Spo. It is something that we are going to be talking about for sure. So it's been a crazy one. Dono, I know you've been busy. University of Miami stuff going on and getting a quarterback. By the way, Carson Beck looks like he's healthy. We have any update? Is he going to play in spring football? What's the thoughts in Coral Gables right now?
Yeah, don't expect Beck to be a full participant in spring football. I'm not completely shutting the door on that because Cristobal did mention last week that it looks like his recovery is ahead of schedule, but I don't know how far ahead of schedule. I think that probably the fair estimate is that, like, at some point after spring is when Beck would be a full go. Until that point, it's really up to him to do, you know, whatever limited throwing he can do in the meantime, you know, mental reps, getting to know his receivers and getting to know the playbook and all that is kind of what he's working on right now, Joe. So, I'm kind of looking forward to spring. You know, I would prefer if Beck was fully healthy because it would put him at an advantage if he were healthy in spring. But at the same time, I really want to get a look at Luke Nickel, the incoming true freshman, who I'm sure is going to get a lot of reps in spring. Not to say that he would be the starting quarterback, you know, this year. That's going to be Carson Beck. But I think Nickel, who's coming in off two straight state championships in Georgia, he could end up, you know, being the quarterback for the future a year or two down the road.
So he's graduating.
I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, he's going to graduate early then, huh? He will definitely be at spring.
He's already on campus.
Oh, he is. Great. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, it's a great great opportunity for him because he's got to be looking and saying, you know what? I didn't see anything that scared me in the second half of that bowl game. I'm going to go for it. The Xavier Lucas transfer to Miami story. And by the way, I've been telling people, and Mario said it to me too, man, on some guys that he's missed since he's been here in recruiting. He said, you know, it's not all that bad, Joe, as long as they're interested in you when they leave, because a lot of them want to come home. They want to see what it looks like, and as long as it looks good coming back home, playing in front of your family and stuff, especially if they see a chance for them to come in and play and make some money. This Xavier Lucas, really, I expected a lot more of this kind of stuff. So Wisconsin's claiming they had a 2-year contract with him. When the hell did we start with that? I thought it was, I've been saying it's 1-year free agency every year. When did this start?
Well, the thing, Joe, is it hasn't really started yet. And you know, I had the opportunity earlier this week to speak with Darren Heitner, who's a lawyer representing Xavier Lucas. And so the Big Ten has drafted this this contract that a lot of their schools are already using, including Wisconsin. But it's based, Joe, it's based on the revenue sharing that hasn't actually started yet. So this House versus NCAA settlement, which is expected to be approved, but it cannot be approved until April 7th at the very earliest. Yet Wisconsin is already having their players or trying to have their players sign these. And I'm not even under the House settlement. I'm not even sure if this would be legal, but they're having their players sign these 2-year binding, allegedly binding NIL agreements. But, you know, what Xavier Lucas and his lawyer feel that they strongly feel that, hey, this agreement cannot be binding because you haven't actually paid him revenue sharing yet. So there's there's not consideration that's been met yet. And revenue sharing hasn't even passed yet. So Wisconsin's making a big stink about this, Joe. And they claim to have some sort of, what they call credible information about tampering. Miami tampering, but haven't provided any details on that. So they're really angry. I mean, ultimately, they lost a really good player who decided to go home to South Florida.
Hey, so speaking of that, I mean, you've been doing this for a while. College football and the transfer portal is all about tampering. I mean, it just is. People go, how can you say that? I said that the other day. And I've been saying that since it started. You know, people realize who the marketing guys are for these guys, right? The marketing guys, their job is to get as much money for these players as they can. And if they have word they want to go somewhere else, they want to come home, you go through your marketing guy, who, by the way, in most cases are NFL agents like Drew Rosenhaus. Drew's job, he wants happy college players who hopefully someday will be happy, happy client NFL players that he'll make a lot more money on than whatever little percent they take. He's told me they don't make a lot of money on this marketing thing. Most of the money goes with the bigger picture in mind. And hopefully, whether it's Xavier Lucas or any of the other clients they currently have, their goal is to hopefully those guys will be NFL draft picks, hopefully first, second, or third round picks, make a lot of money, and those guys get a percentage of it doing those contracts and all the marketing stuff usually that comes with it. So, yeah, I saw this and all this a sudden. And by the way, I don't know if you're with me. I don't want to hear from the Big Ten and SEC who have been nobody's been under the table doing dirty deals before this more than those two. And Mario's even insinuated it before. Like, last thing I want to do is hear the two conferences that are controlling everything whining about an ACC school getting a player or two. Mario knows how to play the game. He doesn't complain every time these rules change or it's the Wild West. He just said, I'm going to be a frontier, man. I know how to do the Wild West thing. If we're going to do that, let's do it. And Mario's good at it. So I just think from that standpoint, listen, man, I don't want to hear from Wisconsin. I don't want to hear from any of those guys who Ohio State openly brags about the amount of money they spend on theirs, which, by the way, I think is pretty smart that they let people know we have money, and if you're really good, you may want to come play for us, right? Through the transfer portal or anything else, or come right out of high school. So we have all that stuff. You expect a big transfer portal class? A lot more coming?
I don't know about a lot more, but I think that there's a couple spots they could address in spring. So the portal is for the most part, it's closed right now, except, you know, I guess Notre Dame and Ohio State, since they just finished their seasons, they have some of their players have an opportunity to hit the portal. But it's worth noting, you know, Miami can't bring anybody in until after spring football anyway, because the academic deadline is already passed. But the portal's going to open again in April. And Joe, I think they would like to add another experienced wide receiver, you know, the type of bigger name that you can attract now that you have Carson Beck, because for most of their portal recruiting, you know, Beck came aboard like late in the process. So they didn't, it was kind of like the way it was with Cam Ward last year, and Miami was able to get Sam Brown to come in the spring portal. They'll look for something like that again this year. I think they could probably use another linebacker, maybe another defensive tackle, but I think most of their work, Joe, in the portal is probably done. I got to give Cristobal a lot of credit, because Miami's, you know, biggest weakness on the field last year was the defensive secondary. Whew, and they brought in a ton of quality players back there, including Lucas, but also guys like safety Zechariah Poyser, cornerbacks like Ethan O'Connor and Charles Brantley. They brought in what looks like a pretty good defensive tackle, David Blay. They brought in a new starting center. They brought in a new tight end who's going to be like a top two guy on the depth chart. So, you know, so far, like they've addressed most of their needs in the portal, Joe, and they did bring in one veteran receiver, CJ Daniels from LSU, but I think they'll probably try to bring in one more guy, because Miami, you know, they've got some talent at receiver. You and I are big fans of a guy like JoJo Trader, for example, who's, you know, a young guy going to be in his second year, but, you know, they lost from last year their top four receivers, right? They, you know, you lose Restrepo and Isaiah Horton transferred to Alabama. They lost Sam Brown. They lost Elijah Arroyo at tight end. So they're replacing a lot of production there.
No question. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. We've got some Tyreek Hill news that we want to get to. We've got Final Four for the championship games, for the conference championship games coming up on Sunday. It's going to be great. So we got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bills, great game. Rams, Eagles, lot of stuff. Alex, I'm guessing you guys had a chance to talk about all that stuff. I can't even imagine Mark Andrews is feeling after that game. And I know, listen, it's always about the quarterback, and I see all the comments. I thought Lamar Jackson was best player in the game. And he had two bad turnovers, don't get me wrong. Had a bad throw and fumbled the ball just absolutely wild. It picked up, and almost Von Miller almost returned it for a touchdown, but Mark Andrews has one of those games who's having a really, really good career. I don't know if Hall of Fame career, but a really good career to have those two plays happen, the fumble in the fourth quarter late and then followed up by the two-point conversion. An easy pass to literally catch it, fall down with your butt just over the goal line, and you tie the game up, right? And then your defense got to stop, but, boy, that's tough.
Yeah, Andrews has been getting crushed, and it's to the point where, like, you know, I certainly I came away from that game feeling like most of that was his fault, despite the Lamar Jackson turnovers. But like you said, Lamar Jackson was the best player in that game. Like, Andrews, to me, blew that game, you know, but it's one of those things where some people just can't separate sports from real life. I mean, the poor guy is like, he's been allegedly getting death threats
stuff.
Just like, there's no
social media is different that, level. Man. There was somebody watching. Yeah. And I had the same thing. Like, first thought was, listen, I've had bad plays in playoff games, and they haunt me to this day. Just literally will wake up sometimes in my 60s and still think about it. But having that, I'm guessing he will. It wasn't Jackie Smith bad, what happened to Cowboys tight end in the end zone against the Steelers, but it was tough. Those two plays will haunt him for a long, long time. And by the way, a lot of people all over Lamar Jackson, and he made mistakes, and he took full responsibility for it, and Lamar can't win the big game. But at the end of the day, for Detroit and Baltimore, you can't turn the ball over 5 and 3 times. We'd all agree on that. We can talk about all the stats, and everybody's always looking for a new take on why somebody lost, or we like to point fingers at individuals. Whoever it was, whether it's a quarterback or your tight end, you can't turn it over 3 times in one game, and 5 in the other, the way the Lions didn't expect to win. Just can't do it. Not going to happen.
Well, and what happened, Joe, like with Mark Andrews, it kind of reminds me a lot of, you know, going rewinding a couple weeks to the National College semifinals. You remember Drew Aller with Penn State, how awful he was in that terrible interception that he threw to blow that game.
Right.
It's like that's going to haunt him probably for the rest of his life the same way Andrews is going to be haunted. But they're both going to be back on their teams next year, right? I mean, Andrews is still going to be a Raven. Drew Aller is going to be at Penn State for another year. You got to move on. Like, that's the only thing. You got to try to make up for it next year.
Baltimore, I thought, had clearly a better overall team. I still feel that way. They didn't win, but, you know, but I thought Baltimore, hell, I said Baltimore might have the best team in football, all-around football team. And I felt that way with Baltimore the year before when they beat us up and they had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And I thought, my God, nobody's going to be able to go to Baltimore and beat them. I mean, they crushed us, and they had just beaten the 49ers on the West Coast. And I went, oh, my God, they're taking everybody out right now, and they're just as good on one side as the other. And so, you know, another great opportunity for a team that's super talented and comes up short again. But I got to tell you, these games coming up, they should be a lot of fun. My God, you look at Kansas City, Buffalo going there. Buffalo's got a legit chance to beat them. I think it's going to be kind of a low-scoring game personally. And then the other story is so good for football. A rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels, what he's doing. He's got 2 playoff wins. Think about that. 2 playoff wins as a rookie quarterback on the road. We haven't won a playoff game in 25 years, period, with a zillion different quarterbacks. So, and the way he's playing, cool and calm, made some great throws down the field. This wasn't like they ran for 300 yards and Jaden Daniels had to throw for 120. That kid made some throws, and he is cool and calm. I don't think they beat the Eagles. I don't. I think the colder the weather, I think the Eagles are just physically going to beat you up, man. They're going to try to run for 200 to 300 yards. Saquon ran through some of the biggest holes we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. So who do you like in that game?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, who do I like? I like Washington, but I'm picking Philly to win.
Yeah.
You know, I would say quarterback advantage, you got to go to Washington, but the overall team advantage to Philly. You know, Joe, in these games, in both of them, I will be rooting, you know, for the teams that aren't the usual suspects. I mean, Kansas City is in there every single year on the other side. They're going for the three-peat. Even Tom Brady never three-peated. All the Super Bowls he won, he never won 3 in a row during his career. Patrick Mahomes, and of course, you know, his favorite teammate, the referees, are going to be try to go for that for him to help him get that three-peat. But I'm in a weird spot, Joe, where I don't know if other Dolphin fans agree with me on this or how I should feel about it, but I'm kind of rooting for Buffalo to get to that Super Bowl.
Oh, me too. Oh,
feels,
no, don't.
It feels like blasphemy. Hey, yeah.
I've been beaten twice in a year by both of them. I've seen it up close. Kansas City last year beat us twice, and Buffalo beats us twice, if not three times a year, if we play them in the. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'd like to see Buffalo beat Kansas City. I got to tell you, and I'm glad Woody's not here today, to be honest, Donna, before I say this, but the overprotection of what they did for Patrick Mahomes in the pocket, running, late slides, and then the sideline flop was embarrassing. Matter of fact, he came out and said he shouldn't have done it. And I thought Troy Aikman, whether I don't know if you like Troy Aikman or not, I'm glad to hear Troy go, these calls are BS, man. Like, this has got to change. It's a quarterback talking about a quarterback. This is a Hall of Fame quarterback talking about one of the two or three greatest quarterbacks maybe ever in Mahomes already from what he's done. He's been that good. But the late slides, and then we find out in slow motion, doesn't really even get hit. It's two defenders, helmets colliding. Then on the sideline, and I said this a couple of months ago, he runs down the sideline. He knows, and if you go to let up on him, he takes more. They've got to take a look, and I know they want to protect the superstars. They're great for business. I get it. We talked about Josh and Lamar, right? We're talking now about Josh and Patrick Mahomes. They're great for business, but this is ridiculous. The calls, and it seems like Kansas City, and I've been fighting this because I don't think the officials care who wins. I really don't. I don't think the league cares who wins. A lot of people disagree with me on that, but some of the calls that Patrick Mahomes is getting are ridiculous right now. They really are. I could see why the Texans were pissed off.
I mean, I already had, Chiefs fatigue to begin with. It is just, I guess it's a natural, you're tired of seeing the same team winning over and over again. I'm tired of seeing, the camera find Taylor Swift in the luxury box every 30 seconds during the game. I get so tired.
We barely got in the game and we go up. And there she is with Caitlin sitting next to her. Was it Caitlin Clark sitting next to her? Another Travis Kelce fan. Look who's at the game today. Oh, that's good. We'll see them 25 times. Good. Like it makes a difference every time. And by the way, the other thing is that and Kansas City probably was going to win the game no matter what, even with those calls. Yeah. They were probably going to win it. They know how to win all the close games. But you know what? The Texans, that secondary is really good. That secondary is really, really good for Houston. They got one guy to worry about. How do you not worry about Travis Kelce? How are you not covering Travis Kelce? How do you not go put somebody on him when he does all that freelancing back and forth in the plays? No, those aren't even routes. Those are what you do when you go out and play sandlot football, Dono. We all go out, we run around, and the guy goes, just keep running around, man. I'm going to run around back here until I see one of you guys breaking open. Just run to get open. He goes for 7 catches, 117 yards, and some of those, he's wide open. Like, how are you not covering that guy the most? 7 catches, 117 yards. He accounted for more than half their total yards in that game. They only had 212 yards of offense and win that game. But Texans got it. You just got to lock on to him. You've followed the leader, man. Follow the leader. Everywhere he goes, you go. Right? Playing tag, chase him, and stay with him. I mean, he doesn't run like he used to. He does. He's 35 years old, but you got beat by Travis Kelce in that game. Just crazy. So, yeah, this will be interesting to see if Buffalo can take care of that. I don't know who else they have that really scares you on the outside. Worthy's okay, right? All right. Runs really fast, but let's not make him into the true number one, or I don't even know if he's a number two receiver. He's playing. Don't get me wrong. He's getting a lot of playing time. He makes some plays, and they get the most out of him. But, wow. We got a lot of Dolphin stuff I want to get to. A lot of stuff on Tyreek Hill. And I've had Tyreek Hill build up for a few days that I want to share with you and get your take on. Alex Donnell with us this morning. All day, Dan Day. My man beats me in here. The only guy beats me in here in the morning. Just outstanding. He's here.
Because he lives there, Joe. I don't think he ever goes home.
You know what? There could be something to it, man. And I have a new theory that I think our boss is trying to kill him. I think he wants to see how far before he breaks down. I think it's just easier for our boy, our program director, to sit at home and act like nothing's going on here and just go, Dan Day, just take care of everything. What engineer today, take that. You got all the shows today. Oh, you got to work by yourself. Like, pure laziness out of the program director. And he's trying to kill all day Dan Day. He's doing a good job. But my man bounces back, man. You can't kill him. He's just backing, and he's rolling strong again today. Hey, we got a lot of stuff to get to here. We'll be back in just a second. We do have some Tyreek Hill stuff that we have to talk about here, man. Enough's enough, and want to get to that stuff for all you Dolphin fans wondering what's going to happen here this offseason. We'll talk about some of that in just a moment. Story, and we'll jump back into Jimmy here in just a moment. But so this Tyreek Hill stuff that comes out and going back, and seems like Alex Donald with us this morning. Donald, it seems like been a while since Coach said we have a problem with our guys being late. And by the way, why didn't you just mention, just go Tyreek's late and then the other guys, because probably be a good way to start instead of calling out we've had guys on the team, which is a terrible look for the coach. I was shocked that he came out and said that. But he did. Tyreek late. Tyreek leaves early. Tyreek quits. He's got that one now there. The quit, the fourth quarter didn't play. All this stuff going on. And so coming out of all that stuff, Wes Welker gets let go.
Oh, I can't.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Wes Welker's a real pushover. Anybody who knows Wes Welker knows he is old school. 900 catches, almost 10,000 yards, old school in his career. And he becomes the fall guy and scapegoat for what just took place. And I was shocked because that's Mike's guy, or it was Mike's guy. He brought with him from San Francisco. And Wes' career is amazing. Wes, when the two guys on the outside are going for, couple thousand, one guy went 1,700, the other guy's going over 1,000 yards, nobody's saying a word. And then last year, they redo the whole offense, and apparently it's Wes Welker's problem, or the way the guys were treated, whichever way you want to go. And so this Tyreek Hill thing's very interesting. I'm sure you guys talked about it while I've been gone. But Tyreek, you know, now there are a lot of speculation that the Dolphins will try to trade him, which, by the way, I don't believe. I don't know about you. Do you believe they'll try to trade Tyreek Hill?
Here's why I don't think they will. I don't know how much long-term job security Chris Greer has right now. You know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the perception is that he's kind of on an audition to keep his job next year.
Should have been on it before, but yeah.
Should have been on it before. So yeah. I have a hard time believing he's going to be in any rush to, you know, trade away theoretically one of his best players in exchange for probably mostly draft picks, because that's something that benefits the long term. What I would look at Chris Greer is in a position to be making short term moves. And Joe, isn't it
good
better
point.
In the short term to
good
have
point.
Tyreek Hill on your team?
Yes. And I want to add to this. Somebody wrote, who's pretty credible, and I know it's been picked up by a lot of our hardcore podcasting friends, Tyreek Hill to New England makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. If you know the history of this franchise, speaking of Wes Welker, we traded Wes Welker in one of the worst moves in the history of this franchise, where he's gone on to have 660 catches and come back to beat you more than once as a member of Tom Brady bunch there. And second of all, you don't trade to your own division. You just don't. When you're trying to win, you don't give a guy like Tyreek Hill, who's got some knucklehead in him, there's no question about it, but he's still a really good player. And he is still your best receiver. He's still your best receiver. And with all that stuff and all the dumb stuff that he says, and the coach doesn't practice him enough, and this and that, and his wrist, which, by the way, I'm tired of hearing about the wrist. I'll just say this to Drew and everybody else that said he had the wrist problem. Did he get it fixed? Are they getting it? No, it's not. just to answer that, no, there probably will be no operation. Second of all, let me say this. When I watch him warm up and do him behind the back on takeoffs, and he's putting his hands trying to catch the ball with his back with his two hands behind, which is hard to do. If you have a bad wrist, you don't do that. Huh? You just don't do that. So that sticks with me. I go to the games early to watch guys warm up, see how guys are kicking, the whole thing, how accurate Jason is and Sanders. And I like to get there early and get a feel for what's going on, and how hard everybody's going, and just trying to get a feel for everything and who's playing and what the starting offensive line looks like. So I am curious, though, who's going to crack down on me. It's not the wide receiver coach's job. I can tell you it's not Wes Welker's job to say, hey, Tyreek, enough's enough, man. You need to be here on time. Not his job. He got to report to the head coach. And the guy that oversees everything's the GM. And so I know they're coming back. If this is best for this team to have a chance to win, I'm not real big on Chris running things to whatever he can do with the amount of money he has and redoing contracts. I'll tell you what, part of what you said is true. I think people, now you make desperate, we got to get to double digit, I got to get to the playoffs, and then I'm safe again. And, you know, we got to do something for Tua. Man, this is more than just Tua in the lineup or not in the lineup with this team. You're no question you're better with Tua playing 17 games. Still not as good as these teams I just watched play, because Tua can't play like the guys we just saw play that we've critiqued to death, Lamar and Josh. Nothing in common with either one of those guys. Nothing at all. But this thing about trading Tyreek Hill to New England, because they need – they do. Their receivers are very, very, to be fair, very average. And people are bringing up Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker, when he got traded there, his days were long gone great or good. They were long gone. That guy they got, you could take him. No problem. Dolphins were not worried about that. But Tyreek, why would you want to give a guy that's got a chance to still beat you for 7 catches and 150, 160 yards, even though he didn't have a lot of those last year? So, I'm not real big on, and I don't even know if you can do it with all the guaranteed money they owe him the next 2 years. I'm not sure that would happen anyway. But I did want to just bring that up today with all the things, and your point is really well taken, that for both those guys, it's about, hey, what do we do right now to give us a chance to get back? Because this owner, he's run out of patience even in his mid-80s here. And he came out quickly right after the game, said, they're coming back. I know you're not happy about what you've seen, but they're coming back. And so here we go. 10 draft picks. Whatever, we can do this, we'll do that, we'll redo this guy's contract and redo that guy's contract and all the other things to free up money to get some cap space to go out and get a few free agents. But, this thing with Tyreek and who's going to handle him and who's going to get him all of a sudden for the first time since he's been here to play by the rules? Who's going to get that done? I got no problem with the Tyreek Hill that practices every day when he does practice, or when he plays in games. Most of the time, a guy plays hard. He does play hard. But all the other stuff that's come out, and it started coming out a long time ago. And by the way, the Odell Beckham, you talk about poisoning a team. Odell Beckham here for one day was one day too long. And I got to tell you, man, I talked to guys in Baltimore. They said he was a good soldier up there. Played by the rules.
Well, that's a very strong organization, might have something to do with that.
No question about that. To that point, you are right on the money. He came in and they had strong personality, strong head coach. This is the way we do it here. This is how you're going to be used. But he was toxic to this team. Toxic while he was here. He was toxic just being around. Not that he wasn't very good in the games either, but he was just, it was bad. he'd already made up his mind he's going to try to do it his way, and some of the stories that have come out just has nothing to do with Wes Welker. Nothing to do with Wes Welker. I am shocked that Wes Welker went from a hot coach, and all of a sudden I hear people saying, well, he wasn't a very good coach. What, because they let him go, you think that he's not a very good coach? What do you do when you got to be overly nice to every guy, even when they don't show up? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when you got meetings with guys one-on-one and they tell you they can't make it? I can't imagine a coach telling you, I want to see you tomorrow at a certain time, go over what we're going to do and how we're going to use you, and you tell them, I can't meet with you, I'm a little busy. On game day, you can't make that stuff up. Anyway, we've got a lot more to get to. I like that little pause in there, Donald. We do that little pause, like, let that simmer a little bit. We've got all kinds of stuff going on here, man. Alex Donald with us this morning. All Day Dan Day with us as well. And, yeah, we've got a lot of news, including Canes football. And Marl's right back at it, man. Carson Beck got that thing taken care of. You know who I thought it was going to be? I was wrong. I told Woody I thought it wasn't going to be Carson Beck. I didn't see that one coming. I thought the quarterback in Texas was going to play one more year.
That's what I thought. And I think that there was something to that. I think there was definitely some consideration on Ewers' part to play another year. And ultimately, I think him wanting to go pro. And the Beck thing makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's dating Hannah Cavender.
That's a good start. So that's a good,
she was probably the best recruiter.
She worked in this case.
But
I also,
for a time, I thought it was going to be Ewers from Texas. I did.
He'd already been told, listen, Manning's a quarterback going forward, bro. He's up. You're done. So, and he didn't play great. Let's be honest. Did not play the way he did. And so he turns pro. But I thought that one was in the makings, man, to see him come back here. I did.